Hello and welcome to your weekly roundup of all the latest news and ramble about the world of electric cars from the gang at electrifying.com. This week, we are discussing World Car of the Year, Omoda's arrival and the Ford Explorer, which is apparently coming at last. Plus, of course, we'll be answering all your electric questions and dipping into the postbag to hear from you. Welcome to the Kilowatt Half Hour. I am Ginny and I'm in New York, very excitingly.
I'm Tom, I'm not in New York.
And I'm Mike, and I'm in the middle of a storm that's threatened to blow a huge tree down outside my house. So there we go. We've got all three scenarios covered, haven't we?
We have. It's not great in New York, actually, either. It is grey and it is raining. And there's loads of police around because just around the corner from me later today, Biden and Clinton and Obama are all arriving for some kind of fundraiser. So it's all a bit crazy. Lots of roads closed. Lots of police sirens.
Wow.
And it's all happening. But I've been here for World Car of the Year announcements, which happened yesterday. And we have a winner.
Yes.
What did you guys make of the winner? The Kia EV9 is officially the best car in the world for 2024. What did you two make of that announcement?
Yeah, I think I agree with that. And I'm sure you do, Ginny. I mean, it's a great car, isn't it? I mean, especially in America, where it makes perhaps a little more sense because of the size. But even here, it's a really clever, nice-looking family car that makes sense, I think.
Yeah, what do you think, Mike? You haven't had a chance to drive it yet, have you, Mike?
It's the only one of the three finalists I haven't had to drive. So I haven't had the opportunity to drive. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, from a design point of view, I think it looks good. I mean, you often get a lot of negative criticism about these things, but they're generally not the people who are going to buy that model anyway. So you have to, the only people who can really judge a car like that are the people in the market for it, because, you know, if I'm looking at buying a Super Mini, you know, a 7-seater SUV isn't going to be on my radar. It is too big. But if you are in that market, and there are a lot of family buyers who will be, then, you know, that's the real judge of it, isn't it? And everyone I've spoken to loves it. So I think it sounds like it was the right decision.
Yeah, it was. It's a great car to drive. And it's interesting what you said, Tom, because when we were in America last year for the driving, World Car of the Year driving, where we all jurors come in and you try all the different models that are up for the different awards, seeing it for the first time on American roads just doesn't look as big. Nothing looks big over here. You know, you see, I've seen like quite a lot of Range Rovers driving around New York and they just don't look big because everything is massive. So it does really work well here. But equally, you know, you and I have both driven it in the UK and it fills a gap in the market. There are a lot of people that need that practicality of a 6 or a 7-seater. And I think it really opens that up in electric. And I think it was Nick that did that driving, the range test with it in, did she go to? Was it Norway she went to?
Yeah.
And it's massively efficient as well. That was the other thing. Mm. So I think they've really nailed it. They were very, very happy yesterday. And Hyundai were also very happy, which, of course, is the sort of sister company, because the 5N got Performance Car of the Year. And actually, when you looked across the whole range, everything that won yesterday was electric, which is really interesting just seeing. You know, even in a global perspective where, of course, lots of countries are not, you know, nowhere near the way we are with electric in Europe. But they're still, you know, seeing what great cars they are. So, yeah, we had Ioniq 5N, Kia EV9 took World Car of the Year and World Electric Car. The Volvo EX30 got World Urban Car, which I think was probably quite a good call for that, if only they can fix those software glitches that they've got. but yeah, I thought it was definitely there was no surprises yesterday. Oh, and BMW i5 actually, and which of course is 5 Series as well, that got the luxury car. So yeah, it was great to see so many electric models being recognised.
Excellent, good stuff.
So that's what I've been up to. What have you been up to? Come on, what's going on at Electrifying HQ?
Well, I've been driving very long distances in your i5, Ginny, which I'd never seen before. And you failed to mention was the M60 version. I thought that perhaps you'd go for the sensible, long range, low power version, which is perfectly adequate. No, you went for the 600 horsepower one.
Yeah.
it's insane. It's just so fast. I thought this car's very fast. And then I found the paddle behind the steering wheel, which gives you extra fastness.
Yeah,
it's just ridiculous. But now I've just stopped doing that.
I know.
And, And I did wish on the 255-mile journey I did up to Sunderland in the northeast that you'd bought the 40 version, which would have got there on one charge. But no, it was about 5 miles short.
I just went for performance. And it's really nice, isn't it?
Right. It is a lovely car.
It drives beautifully, doesn't it, as well? I do. I have a smile on my face a lot in that car.
Yeah. I did first, well, I had to do some research into the key because I've got a thing about keys. You know, on the Polestar, it always looked like the control box through the Christmas tree lights, and that's because they hadn't been allowed to do the thing with your mobile phone in the UK, which they now are. But that i5, the key on it is so large, I thought I was going to have to get planning permission. It is bigger than some small cars. It's huge. And I thought, this can't be right. What's the point of this? But looked into it, and you can use your phone as a key. But you have to have both keys in the car at the same time, which is a useful security device, I suppose, to make sure that you're not, if you're you're servicing it or you're a valet parking or whatever it is, you can't then just do a copy of the key. But we haven't got both, so I have to, do a separate carry-on bag for the key whenever I go anywhere.
Did you? Because we talked about that, and I was saying, I wonder is it something to do with making it less hackable? For relay theft?
I don't know what the reason is for making it that big.
It's a massive key.
Huge.
I mean, look, so that's my AirPods case, and it's bigger than my AirPod case, the key.
Really?
It's probably as thick as one, but it's definitely not. It's massive. Yeah, it's massive. Yeah. I need a whole separate handbag just to carry the key.
Yeah.
Okay, well, good. Well, I'm glad you've been enjoying my baby.
Yeah, so obviously I've done 600 plus miles in the past couple of days in it, and it's a great car for doing that sort of thing. Very few flaws, unlike the rapid charging network, which I've got no mind because it worked. I mean, I had to on some occasions. You turn up and it's a 50 kilowatt charger, and now we're so spoilt in a car that charges as fast as that at like 200 kilowatts if it can. I want 350 kilowatt chargers, and when I found those, it was charging absolutely brilliantly. But my moan now, trying to get receipts. So you stop for a fast charge. Fast charge isn't a cheap thing if you've got a big battery like that BMW. It's like, well, how do I get a receipt? Because you obviously don't get one out of the actual machine itself. Mm-hmm. Go onto this website. So you go onto that website, and it says, in order to get a VAT receipt, you have to email customer services, but Beryl only comes in on Thursdays. And she'll want the last four digits of your credit card, your full name, your parents' place of birth, and a photo of you standing next to the charger wearing a yellow hat or something. It's ridiculous. And if you've done four fast charges in a couple of days at different companies, just give up.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? We were actually talking about that out here this week because one of my colleagues, Rob, who is the merchant editor at The Sun, was trying to get some receipts from GridServe and saying exactly the same thing. He was having an absolute nightmare. And then even if you manage to get through all that, then they have this policy. It takes about 2 weeks for it then to finally come through, even once you've sent in all the information. I don't know what the answer is. It can't be that difficult, can it? That the app can't, I don't know. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can probably join various clubs and things and, these cars.
We've just got rid of all that now. We don't want to have apps and special cards for charging. We just want to be able to plug, charge, get a receipt, go.
Yeah, campaign style.
Mike, what would you like to moan about?
I have got something to moan about. I've had two things go right with
me.
The first thing was I put a USB port in and it was the right way round, which has never happened to me. So my luck's changing. I've had 15 years we've had USB-A's, and for the first time, I think this morning, I plugged something in and I didn't need to turn it around. The other thing, the good news thing, is my car insurance for the Ioniq 5, it's cheaper this year than it was last year. No.
No way. You're fibbing.
No, 30 quid cheaper. I must be getting very old and a very low risk. Because admittedly, it's not from the same people. I'm with LV.
Wow.
And it came through and it was 200 quid more. And I thought, that's nonsense. So I went on to the Meerkat or whatever. And same thing for Churchill. It was 100 and something pound cheaper. So, exactly the same detail. So there you go.
You are a rarity in that. And actually, I have just come from a recording studio in the corner here where I've been recording some voiceover for a program which is going out on ITV next Thursday night on the 4th of April. And they needed it done today because they have to get things done early. And we are looking at why, in all the years that I've known, driving is never been as expensive as it is now. Yeah. And there's a few things that we'll explore in the programme that's really bumping up prices, you know, cost of repairs being one, for example. But insurance is the real biggie, the massive, massive biggie. And there's some good tips in that programme about how you can bring your insurance costs down. And I'm not allowed to say one of them, but I will tell you next week on next week's podcast, because there's a funny trick about when you need to apply for your insurance, how close to the deadline.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll hit that sweet spot.
Actually then. Expiring.
Mine's
yes.
about 2 weeks away.
Maybe you hit the sweet spot.
Yeah.
That's not far off the sweet spot. Basically, leaving it too late tells insurers that you're actually not somebody who's considered and careful, and the algorithms.
Okay.
Amazing, isn't it? But that's programmes out on ITV1 next Thursday at 8:30, but we will be talking about insurance. But Mike, you are, as we'll see in this programme, you are a rarity.
I am a rarity. The one thing that has gone wrong for me this week is my Ioniq 5 went into zombie mode again, which I don't know if you're familiar with this, but it affects EV6s and Ioniq 5s, and so much as you get in it, it all ping-pongs at you like all Korean cars do. But you can't put it in drive. It just sits there kind of like an eager puppy saying, where are we going to go? But the drive thing is effectively dead. It just doesn't go forward, doesn't go into reverse or anything like that. So my trusty 10mm spanner came in useful again, disconnected the battery terminal, plugged in, 10 minutes let the car reboot and everything, and it was all fine. But it was the day before I was going to go to the airport, which I always leave cut too fine. So thankfully it was only going for a walk, so it wasn't too much of an issue. But yeah, it's, you know, stuff like that just kind of plays on your mind, doesn't it? Because you kind of think, well, is it going to work when I really, really need it? It's happened 3 times since I've had it in 2 and a bit years. So yeah, bit of a pain.
Do you know what? It's not good enough now, is it? This is a really expensive brand new car. And I'm sorry, but most people wouldn't have the wherewithal or the knowledge to get out their spanner and sort it out themselves.
No.
It's just not. It's not great.
I have an electric car fault as well, but my car is 8 years old, so I can forgive it.
I'd expect it.
You can forgive it. Okay.
It started to make a noise like it's got an engine. This is my Nissan Leaf. It's my 2015 Nissan Leaf. Makes a noise like it's being followed by a motorbike. So you're going on, it's only when you get above 30 miles an hour and then it starts to go like, it's really odd. So I put it in for a service, fine. Put it in for an MOT, fine. So all the usual things like wheel bearings and all that sort of thing, it seems to be coming from the rear left side. So I'm going to have a look underneath it and see if there's something rubbing against something somewhere, but it's quite loud and I've no idea what it is. So MOT passed, service, they didn't notice anything, couldn't find anything, but it's definitely there. I'll get a recording of it so we can play it next time. It's very strange.
Okay. We should ask listeners to have a guess at what that might be. There might be some Leaf experts, Tom, who are going to say, oh, I know exactly what that is. It's a this, that, another widget. So yeah. And if they're right, I don't know, they can't win anything.
Maybe it just morphs backwards over time into an ice car.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, I don't know, the older it gets. It's like a kind of backup default or something. Anyway. Right, so what else has been going on? What have I missed in the news? Anything been happening that I might have missed while I've been out here?
Today Tesla said they've clocked 200,000 sales in the UK in the 10 years. So 1 in 5 electric cars in the UK is a Tesla.
Wow.
Which is
hell of a figure, that, isn't it?
Yeah, and you think about all those early cars that were Nissan Leafs and things. So that is quite an achievement, I reckon.
And we've got a new car brand on the scene, a Moda.
Yeah, I'm sure a Moda. I think I got a call about a year ago, I suppose, from a guy from China who said they were bringing a new brand to the UK and wanted some advice. And so I helped him along. But you never really think it's going to happen. But then suddenly, boof, there it is. Yeah. And one of our correspondents, Thomas Geiger, he drove the car in China and came away slightly underwhelmed, I think, is possibly the way to say it. But Hamoda have said, right, well, we've got an engineer, an ex-Jaguar Land Rover engineer who's going to re-engineer the car for Europe. And you think, oh, perhaps it'll be a bit better. And it's 30 grand, which is good, but doesn't come across as wow. Mm. I don't know how you feel, but I mean, car prices are coming down.
They are. I haven't seen it yet. I mean, I think for people that, all these new brands arriving, Omoda is a new brand for us, but it's an absolutely massive brand in China, isn't it? So they are owned by Chery, which is a state-owned brand, which I happen to know is the third largest car maker in China. And like you say, they got in touch with us about 18 months ago to start chatting, and they've got massive plans for here. They were saying we had a meeting with them. They're planning to sell 15,000 cars and open 50 showrooms in the next 12 months alone, which if they do, will mean that they will sell more cars in the UK than Jeep and Jaguar. Yeah. So they're going to have to do a hell of a re-engineering job, I think, on that car in order to make it appealing. But I haven't seen it, haven't sat in it, haven't driven it. I'll be really intrigued to see what it's like. I think even at sub 30,000, as you say, prices are starting to come down. It's going to have quite a compelling package. So, but really interesting. And I think one of just a whole host of brands that are going to head our way. You know, there's other cars that we know are coming down the line. And I don't know, what would you, we did some research on the website, didn't we, with people. We were saying, would you buy a car from a brand that you've kind of never heard of before? And actually a surprising number of people said they would if the price was right and if it had been well reviewed. Love to know what you think. Let us know. You can either email us info@electrifying.com or let us know in the comments below. Would you buy a car from one of these new brands, or would you have concerns, any worries? Does it matter to you that it's not built in Europe, that it's built, you know, in China? Let us know what your thoughts are. It's really fascinating, I think, the way the whole world order of the car industry is changing. Really interesting. Mike,
what's caught my eye? Remember the Ford Explorer, that car that Tom, you went to see, in 2022? Did you go and have a look around that? Finally, cast your memory.
I was definitely a lot younger when I saw that car for the first time.
Yeah, Tom had a full head of hair when he went to go and look at that. So that shows how long ago it was. But it's finally coming. It's going to be. It's on sale now. We can order one now. Prices start from £45,000, £45,875. There is going to be a cheaper one that's going to come later on, which is going to be just under 40 grand. Apparently the delay has been because the project got delayed anyway, and then Volkswagen updated all the battery and drive motors in all their ID cars. They did it quite sort of quietly, really, but all the 2024 model year versions of ID4, Enyaq and ID5 all have this new drive system and a different battery as well, different certified battery. So I think for Ford, obviously, you kind of got to the point where I thought, we're going to launch this, and then within a month or 2 months, we're going to have to change everything. So they decided to delay and use all the newer Volkswagen stuff. So if you're not familiar with the Explorer, it is basically a top hat car that basically they bought the rights to use Volkswagen's MEB platform, their electric platform, instead of developing their own, which would have taken a lot longer. So the Explorer is going to be on it, and there's going to be a second car, which we're not entirely sure what that's going to look like yet. So yes, Explorer is coming. You can order it now. I've done a quick comparison with the price. It's very similar to Volkswagen ID4, as you would expect. Very similar specs as well. But the long range one has a really good range. It has 374 miles of WLTP range, which is good. I mean, it won't really won't do that, but it's, you know, that's similar.
Won't do that, but
that's not too bad. But all the other kind of specs mirror the Volkswagen Group one. So finally, but I looked on the site just a few minutes ago before we jumped on this podcast, and they're quoting 24 weeks delivery. So you're still not going to get it, you know, for another 6 months or so. But at least it's here anyway. So there's that.
And we still but we still haven't driven it. We still haven't driven it though.
Nobody's driven it. Someone's driven around the world as part of the launch plan for it. But that doesn't mean anything because you know, you can keep anything going if you've got a team of engineers, doesn't it? So it'll be interesting to see what that car's like. Again, we haven't had an invite to drive it yet, so that's probably going to be a few months off before we even get to drive that. But of course, the other big news this week, when you're talking about new brands just then, Ginny, was Fisker, like a heavyweight boxer that's had too many punches. It's slightly kind of careering around the ring now, waiting for the referee to call it off because it doesn't look good, does it?
It doesn't, and it's been all over the news out here. It's an absolute fire sale that's happening here, and you know, wherever around the world with Fisker. Price drops here though are massive. So I was just looking. Let me just read some of these for you. So the base model, the Sport, in the US has dropped 36% to just over $27,000. The Ultra dropped 34% to $37,000. The Extreme, so that's the sort of top of the range car, that gets a 39% discount. And you can just imagine, can't you, if you are customers who have just taken delivery of a car, you are going to be absolutely furious about that news. But they've got no option. It's such a shame because I know it's had a lot of stick, this car, and I think it's been a little unfairly criticised. They have had software issues. I think everyone that I know that has driven this car, and me included, actually has been quite impressed by how it feels, how it drives. Certainly, Henrik Fisker is a great designer. It looks the part. I think some of the interior a little bit cheap when I got in it. But certainly at those kind of prices, it's a good buy. But then it begs the question, doesn't it? Would you buy a car at that price, £25,000 for a Fisker Ocean, a great looking car, if you knew the company might not last? And just going back to this whole thing about all these new brands that are coming to market, are we likely to have some kind of orphaned EV models down the line as new brands like Fisker, different brands come and try, but they perhaps don't last the distance? And then what happens to those orphaned EV cars that are so reliant on software updates? What happens if a new charging protocol comes in and you can't get an over-the-air update on it? It's really interesting, isn't it? It's something we've never had to think about before in the industry.
I think that if you look back to when MG Rover went under and Saab went under and everybody panicked and the cars were very cheap for a while. But in the end, you could still get the parts and it was all generally fine. But I did see a picture of a scrapyard because I look at pictures of scrapyards because I'm sad like that. And there was a sort of Chinese import van, you know, like the Bedford Rascal sized vans.
Yeah.
And there was a brand of those that somebody imported for a few months and then they couldn't be bothered anymore because the exchange rate changed, I think. And there was a four-year-old van that was in the scrapyard because it had gone in for its first MOT. It had failed on something minor, like the brakes or something, but you couldn't get the parts. They just didn't exist. Mm-hmm. So it was in the scrapyard. It was just being used for parts for other ones, and then eventually it will get cubed at 4 years old because you can't get a brake part.
So is there going to be some kind of, I don't know, software, like team of open-sourced software that's going to be able that people, you know, will enthusiasts come together to get updates for them? I can't figure out how it's going to work. What happens? Because this isn't necessarily about parts, is it, with EVs? Because that's not really what the issue is going to be. The issue is going to be keeping that software up to date. So if Fisker does file for bankruptcy, sadly, it's looking increasingly likely, what happens with all those cars that are on the road? I mean, it's fascinating, isn't it?
Where there's a hole in the market, somebody will fill it, won't they? So there'll be somebody who can fix these things, I'm sure.
Well, I am conscious that we have 5.5 minutes left on the kilowatt half hour. I am also in a hotel room that I'm about to be thrown out of any second. So unless I want to take my laptop out on the street and finish the podcast out there with the sound of New York sirens blasting away, we should probably move to the post bag.
Shall we?
Mike,
shall...
what was in our delightful post bag? Well, let's do it.
Another bumper post bag. So thank you all so much for replying. If you're listening to this on a podcast app and you wonder what we're talking about, we do have comments underneath. This podcast is also on YouTube. and we have comments underneath it. So if you care to make any comments, please do it on the YouTube or email us at info@electrifying.com.
Email.
Yes. And we have one question, one reader question today, which I'm hoping that the team can help me out with. Helen Matheson came over on email. I want to go electric this year, used. And I need your advice. I don't have a very big budget, around £15,000, but I want something that's going to be easy to live with. This is the key. I'm not particularly tech savvy, so I want something that doesn't require a degree in computers to use. I prefer a small car with a range of no less than 100 miles. I mean, that's a good brief, isn't it? I mean, that's, you know, what do you suggest?
A good brief.
What do you suggest? Can I go first?
Oh.
While you're thinking,
do you want to? Mm-hmm. You go first. I know what you're going to say. We both know what you're going to say.
A BMW.
Go on, say it.
A BMW i3. I put two people into this car, and they both love it. Both are people who said, "I don't want it. I don't like the look of it. I want something that looks normal and is normal." And both times I've taken them to somewhere that had an i3. I said, look, just humour me. Have a drive in it. Just have a go in it. See what it's, you know, just tell me that you don't like it, but at least try it. And both times I drove it, and both times a week later they said, you know what, I went back and I bought that i3. So my recommendation, I mean, there are so many, there's a lot of choice. You can be quite picky.
It's a lovely car. It's a lovely car.
I wouldn't necessarily go with the one. Mine's got a range extender. So I would say try, unless you... I'd avoid the range extender unless you absolutely need it, because it's just an added complication. It adds to the servicing cost, and God knows it adds to the bloody cost of taxing it, as I've found out, £300-400 a year. So yeah, an i3, normal one with the biggest battery they do, you would get that for under £15,000. So quite a late model one, low mileage. Honestly, you will not regret it, Helen. I guarantee it. So that will be my choice.
Tom, I know what you're going to say, Jenny.
Ginny,
Ginny, you're going to suggest that they work harder and buy an ENIAC, aren't you?
it's the answer to my life, the ENIAC.
Yeah.
I've got a picture of the ENIAC on my bedroom wall, you know. I love that car. I love it. Love it so much. I know what you're going to say, Tom.
What am I going to say?
You're going to say a Nissan Leaf.
Well, I'm going to say a Nissan Leaf second. That's my second choice.
Okay.
My first choice on that brief is a Volkswagen E-Up or a Seat Mii electric.
That's a good call.
Or the Skoda, because they're so beautifully uncomplicated. It's got a proper handbrake, you know, a lever for the handbrake. It's got a key that you put into a slot, and it hasn't got a screen other than your basic one. Yeah, yeah. I love that car. Okay. I think it's brilliant. So I think that would... And you get... Okay. Probably a brand new one from stock somewhere, if someone's got one at the back of their dealership for that. But also, because I've been doing some research into used Leafs and things, I've been looking for cheaper and cheaper Leafs, and I found some strange seam of undiscovered Leafs. So, you know, a couple of years ago, you couldn't get electric cars for love nor money. There were Volkswagen ID3s advertised for 50 grand because there was no stock around.
Yeah.
And for some reason, somebody somewhere has registered a load of Leafs, so at the end of 2022, and then left them somewhere. Because on all the advertising things and on our site and the advertising, there are a load of Leafs that are registered either at the end of December 22 or early 2023. And they're now being sold, and they've got like 13 miles on the clock. And I don't know what they've been doing in the meantime, but they are cheap. There's one now, an N connector, so a nice spec that has got all the buttons on it.
Yeah.
£15,500, 13 miles on the clock.
That's
but
good.
2 years
that's
old.
That's a pretty good buy. Okay. That's good. See, I knew you're both very predictable, and you won't guess what I'm going to say.
Mini.
And it's not save harder. No, it's not a Mini. I'm going to say a Peugeot E208.
Yeah,
because I was looking on the used car section over at electrifying.com, and I spotted one £15,000. Okay. It's got well over 200 miles. Well, it's got 200 miles of range on a good day. In winter, realistically, you're going to get about 150 out of that car. I ran one for quite a while. It's got 100 kilowatt maximum charge rate, so charges decently. Four-door, spacious, decent sized boot is a really very, very nice car to drive. I had one of those for, it was, I ran it as my own car for about 2 years, and I loved driving that car. It was brilliant, really nice around town. So I would throw my E208 into the mix there, I'm afraid. Okay. And as much as I love the i3, and I'm fairly fond of the Leaf, I think that's an actually a sort of more enjoyable car to drive. So that's the one I will recommend.
Excellent. Okay. Good choice. I think that's
I'm very conscious that we are already at the kilowatt half hour. So, Mike, I literally am probably about to be hauled out of this room any second. So let's whiz through a few of our comments, shall we?
Okay, very few. You had obviously had some lively discussions last week on the perfect dog car. I remember somebody asked about which dog their car should buy for their dog. Mark Allen says the Citroen Berlingo, Peugeot Rifter, Vauxhall Combo are, in my opinion, the best value large dog cars you can buy. And he's from the owner of two Greyhounds. Michael Lord says, please do a refresher of a dog-friendly car. So looks like we've got some more work to do, because a couple of people ask for that. So would you do that? Adam S. says, yeah, get an Astra Estate or a 308 station wagon for the big dog. They are lower than your normal SUV and crossover, so easier for getting a big dog in as they get older, which is a concern. I mean, my Jack Russell, I could just carry under my arm. So, but I know we've got neighbours who've got an Labrador in it, and they have to load him up with a ramp, so it's quite sad. Fingalbat says, I might go and get a dog as an excuse to buy an Enyaq. So Fingalbat sounds like your kind of person, really. So you can buy one without the dog.
Fingalbat's a regular.
He's a friend of the show.
Friend of the show. There is always a reason to buy an Enyaq. You can always find one.
Exactly.
I'm not paid by Skoda. I just love it.
No, it's good. And very briefly, on the subject of must-have gadgets, I think you discussed last week when I was away, CarPlay, James Cooper says he doesn't miss CarPlay at all. He's on his Volvo C40, found the native system there to work really well, so he hasn't felt the need to it. Bracken Dog says park assist is essential. I spent a terrifying 3 or 4 months with a brand new Tesla Model Y before the software updates caught up. It's like if you drive a car without parking assist or parking beepers, it's terrifying, isn't it? It sounds very first world problem, but it does exist. And Mark Bennett says for Nicola, who obviously isn't here, but we'll pass the message on. She says you can buy a plug-in wireless CarPlay and Android Auto adapter. I think she was saying that she had to, the inconvenience having to plug a phone in to get it to work, didn't she, last week? So but you can buy them. I've got one in the Ioniq 5, which does, because that doesn't have wireless either, and they work really well. So quite rightly says plugging it in every time is a pain. So so that's it. So that concludes the post. There was many more to read. I could have gone on for ages, but
there was many more. I just want to put one in. Ricky Bryan, the Fisker Ocean with its dog window is a good Chucky Lab car.
Yes.
But then I'll refer you to our earlier conversation.
Exactly. Yes.
Gosh, well, what a pleasure it has been. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening to the Kilowatt Half Hour. As always, get your comments in, get your car buying questions into us. You can either do that in the comments below if you are listening and watching on YouTube. And if you are on your podcast streaming service, you can email info@electrifying.com. And please do like and subscribe to the podcast, because it really does help us to grow the audience. And it means we can keep doing it every week, which we really quite like doing, don't we?
We do.
We do.
So from all of us, have a very happy Easter. If you were watching and listening to this after Easter, we hope you had a happy Easter, and we'll be back next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.